Please turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Sunday evenings, I'm sure you're aware, we've been looking at spiritual gifts. Gifts that the Lord gives to His believers so that we can minister in the local church. And we've looked at quite a number of them. And we have a few more to go. And let's start with a word of prayer first of all. Father, we give you thanks for the day, and we pray that, Lord, as we stop and reflect upon your word now, that, Lord, you would use your word to minister to us, encourage us. Lord, show us if this is an area where you have particularly gifted one of us to be used in this assembly in one way or another. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to read just Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, where we read, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So here we have a number of people mentioned and gifts. Now, I'm not going to go through why there aren't apostles and prophets of such, where people who could foretell, but we read here of the evangelist as well in the local church. The evangelist given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And what we see here is, even though it is the Lord's desire for each one of us to share the gospel, He does gift certain believers in this area of evangelism. It's a gift that is special, and it's a gift that is needed within every local church. And that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. And often when someone mentions the gift of an evangelist, our minds quickly go to someone such as Fraser Young or Glenn Weeks, if you know him, or if you're old enough, maybe even Billy Graham, somebody like that. People who go around from city to city preaching the gospel to big crowds and maybe not so big crowds as well. And that's our concept of an evangelist. And there's no doubt, I believe, that these type of men are definitely evangelists and that they are to be used in that way. That's God's will. But I don't believe the gift of an evangelist starts and ends there. And too often we have a narrow view of what an evangelist is, and we need to broaden our understanding of this spiritual gift. Remember how at the very beginning we realized that there is the same gift given, say, of evangelism, but there are different administrations of that gift, different ways where that gift can be used. There are different potencies of that gift as well, where some may be even more gifted in that area, where they're able to be used in a greater measure than some people. Well, let's remember that is the same when it comes to this gift of evangelism as well. And I'm positive there are more people with this gift of evangelism than that never go from church to church. And there are far more if we think, well, who has the gift of evangelism? I'm sure we can don't have to just list the ones that we may know of, those evangelists. There should be many evangelists within a local church as well. And you may be one of them. You may not be someone who gets up and preaches. You may not be someone that goes around Victoria preaching the gospel. But that doesn't mean that you can switch off and you think, well, I haven't got the gift of evangelism. You may be someone with this wonderful gift as well. And God wants to use you in a particular way as well. So we're going to look at the gift of evangelism. The word evangelist, it very similar to the word gospel, which is euangelion in the Greek. The word evangelist is euangelos, which just means messenger of good. Like, just like the gospel, really means good news? Well, an evangelist, if you look at the Greek, is a messenger of good. And so it is someone that shares that good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a pretty basic concept here. When we try and think, oh, well, to me, to be an evangelist, I have to be able to preach, I have to be able to do this and so on. No, it is you are gifted to share that good news. That's what an evangelist is in a nutshell. And as I've already said, although this is something that every believer is to do, some are gifted in this area as well, where they have that natural ability and desire to do so. And just like some may be gifted in that area of mercy and they are naturally good at showing mercy or exhortation or teaching, some may just be naturally able to teach, so too when it comes to sharing that good news. Some just have that natural ability to do so. Now let's consider some of the characteristics that the scholars say often reflect someone with the gift of evangelism. And one of the common characteristics of someone with the gift of evangelism is they have that passion for souls. They have an awareness of that eternal soul and the need to see salvation. We had visiting us earlier last year, time goes too fast. Is it Ron and Dr. Wisdom? Dr. Wisdom was obviously a teacher of God's Word. And then, was it Ron, the other fella? I can't remember his name now. But I tell you, like I go down the shopping centre and all he wants to do is tell people about Christ and how they can be saved, to the point that it brought embarrassment to me. You know, he was so bold. That's all he had on his mind, where I could sit and have a coffee and I could see people walk by and not give him a second thought, where he just sees all these eternal souls that need to hear the gospel. And he went about trying to share with everyone as well. That's why I left him alone at the marketplace to go do what he does. Yeah, it's quite overwhelming. But that was his passion and his desire. People with this gift have that ability to be able to do that as well. They have that uniqueness to be able to share the gospel in a way that others may not be able to as well. There are some other characteristics of someone with the gift of evangelism that may not be quite as positive or can be misrepresented. Often when people have that passion for souls, they can appear to be more what would you call result-driven. Often someone will say, well, praise God, we saw three people come to know the Lord, or four people heard the gospel, or I was able to give so many tracts out. And they sort of focus on what happened. And that's often because that's their passion, that's their desire, they're interested. If they're going to count numbers about anything, it's not going to be who has the highest batting average in the Australian team at the moment. It's going to be how many tracts they were able to give and how many people they could share the gospel with. If they're thinking about anything when it comes to numbers, it's about souls. But what can happen is they can often appear to be more interested in sharing the gospel then seeing that soul be grow in the knowledge of God as well. And that's where the pastor comes in. You know, that's where the pastor wants to see someone discipled and grow in the Lord, where the evangelist is probably more interested in just seeing them get saved. And that's why God balances it out with various gifts. And they can have that characteristic of appearing to be rather pushy when it comes to the gospel as well. And that's probably where I struggled definitely with Ron. You know, he was very pushy. He had to not just share, he had to tell and make sure and try to help them. And that can appear to be negative, and it certainly can put a lot of people off, but he definitely had a passion there. But many with that gift have that characteristic. And as I said, there are different degrees of of the measure of that gift as well. I would say that Ron guy had it in an abundance, right? But, you know, you could, God bless Brother Mike, but when he used to visit, if you sit and talk to him, his whole concept of thought pattern was the lost and sharing the gospel and people getting saved. That was a lot of his focus. And that's what people are like when they have the gift and they are serving the Lord in that way and using that gift. Now, if we're going to look at an example, biblical example, we could obviously look at the Apostle Paul. But we'll look at someone not quite as obvious, and I want to look at Philip, the evangelist. If you turn over to Acts chapter 21, we are told that Philip was an evangelist, so we don't have to wonder if he was, because in Acts chapter 21, in verse 8, we read, "And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him." And so this is Philip, one of the original seven deacons there at Jerusalem at that time. Now he's living in Caesarea. But we read here that he was also an evangelist, Philip the evangelist. Now it's at this point I want to show you how there are three areas, or distinct areas, where someone with the gift of evangelism can be used. We see two of these areas in the life of Philip. And so if you look there in chapter 8, if you turn to chapter 8, I should say, where Philip is mentioned again, Acts chapter 8, we see here that the first way that an evangelist can be used is preaching to great numbers of people. And this is generally the concept we have of an evangelist, preaching to great numbers of people. And Philip obviously was used in this way. We read there in Acts chapter 8, verse 4 to 6. It says, "Therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did." And so we see here that Philip the evangelist went to Samaria and he preached the gospel and people got saved. But he didn't just do that in Samaria. If you turn over to verse 40 of chapter 8, it says, "But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." And so here we see that basic concept of the evangelist. He goes from city to city throughout his region, preaching the gospel, sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus, and people getting saved. That's how Philip the evangelist was used, and that's often our concept. And so when we do consider people like Fraser Young, Glenn Weeks, Kevin Currell, those men that we would classify as evangelists, the preaching evangelists really, this I see is a biblical form of preaching and using your gift. And that's how some people use it. But speaking to big crowds and going from town to town wasn't the only way that Philip used his gift as well. If you look in Acts chapter 8, we see that he was also used to minister or preach the gospel to the individual as well in the world. That individual along the side of the road, you could say. We read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And so the Lord sent Philip to the south into the desert. And we see here that the Lord had a job for him to do. There wasn't a big city in the desert with a crowd of people needing to hear the gospel, but we see that there was an individual who had a searching soul that needed someone to share that wonderful news with him. And the Lord sent an evangelist to do that. And we read in verse 27, "And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." And here we see that this gift can be used in a very different way than just preaching to a crowd of people in a city. Here, Philip used this gift of sharing that wonderful news of the Lord Jesus to an individual. He shared it with a man along the side of the road. Here he was, a searching soul, wanting to know, what is this that I'm reading? Who is he talking about? Who is this one that will give himself as a lamb to the slaughter? And God used this evangelist, put him in the right place at the right time, and he shared with him Jesus. And if you were to read on, he believed that Jesus was the Son of God who died for him. And this man received the Lord as his Savior, and he was saved. And for those with the gift of evangelism, this is often how they can use their gift. You don't have to be a gifted preacher to preach to a crowd, but you can be gifted to share to the individual along the way. Maybe it is when you're at work, maybe to the neighbor, maybe when you're down the street or sitting on a plane or sitting on a train, wherever it may be, but you have that passion to share the gospel with that person next to you. You know, you don't have to be a preacher to a crowd. You know, I have a good friend. I don't see him anywhere near as much these days. Some of you know him, and most of you have met him. His name's John Bursell. And I've known John since before I was married. And so, 22, 23 years. So we'd known each other for quite a while. And I knew John way back when we lived in Coffs Harbour together. And particularly back in those days, now John has a gift of evangelism. You don't need to convince him of that. You don't need to convince anybody else of that as well. But John, particularly in the early days, when he would get up to preach, that wasn't a pretty sight, I'm here to tell you. And if he tried to teach something, and I probably is still today, he can be very confusing. That's not where his gifts lie. But you get him to share the gospel, and there's not many people that can share the gospel better than him. I remember once here at youth group, he was meant to preach and he forgot that he was on. And I rang him up and said, "Are you going to come to youth group?" He goes, "Oh, I forgot I was preaching." So he came and he turned up and he just thought about the man that built his house upon the rock. And he just opened it up and he just started to share the gospel. You know, the wise man who built on the Lord Jesus and the foolish man that built it on the sand. And, you know, he just shared the gospel through that story, and I tell you, it was as clear as I've ever heard it. And he just spoke from his heart. And that's what an evangelist can do when they're preaching the gospel. You know, when he lived in Coffs Harbour, he got a job working in... Coffs Harbour used to have their own zoo. And it wasn't just people, all right? There were actual animals there as well. It was a real zoo. And over the space of about 2 years, I think he led about 4 or 5 people who he worked with to the Lord just through contact there at the zoo. And there are others in the community he had led to the Lord as well who didn't work at the zoo, let alone people that he shared the gospel with. He just had that, he still has that passion for souls. And he's more that person where we see Philip meeting the man along the side of the road and taking the opportunity to share the gospel. That's the gift of an evangelist. It can be used while you are in a community along the side of the road. And that's a wonderful way that you can use the gift. And I think that's even probably a more fruitful way in many ways as well. But there is a third way, and it is very similar to the second way, but it's where someone with the gift may not be used to preach to multitudes or share just with an individual along the side of the road in the community, but you can also play a vital part in a local church in sharing the gospel in various manners. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. Here, the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, the pastor there, as he was pastoring at the church at Ephesus. And he says in verse 5 to Timothy, "But watch now in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." And so here the Apostle Paul, who was an evangelist, exhorts the pastor there at the church, Timothy, to do the work of an evangelist as he ministered there in the local church. Now, I don't know exactly why he said that. It could be that there was no one there with that gift of an evangelist, so he needed to step up and do that work at least. Maybe there were those who were there who had the gift, but they weren't using their gift. And so because of that, Paul was exhorting Timothy to start doing that work there in that local church. But Timothy needed to do this work for whatever reason there at the church at Ephesus. Now, Paul doesn't spell out how to do the work of an evangelist within that local church, which would have been really nice, you know, so we can know how someone within a local church can be used in that way. But we do see that the work of an evangelist is needed within the local church structure in various ways. As we saw at the beginning in Ephesians chapter 4, that the evangelist is someone who is needed to build up and be used within a local church. It is a necessary gift. A local church without those with the gift of an evangelist within it has a big gap. And if we don't have people within our church with the gift of evangelism and aren't, or if you've got it and you're not using it, there is a big gap within our church. It is needed. It's a vital part. You know, it could be bringing people to church. It could be teaching people the things of God and sharing the gospel, but involved in the ministries of the church. You know, for example, in the youth ministries, both youth group and one way, it's good to have people with the gift to teach. That's needed. It's really good to have people with that gift of mercy and exhortation to get along those ones that need care and concern as well. But I tell you what, it's vitally important to have someone with the gift of evangelism, to see that need, that spiritual need of them needing to see Christ. You know, I know back the last church at Coffs, there was one young lady particularly. You know, when you have your team time, you know, you can sit there and teach the children what they've learned. But this young lady, I'd say every third or fourth week, she would have someone from that club and she would be sitting by herself with them sharing the gospel. She would spot that desire for someone to know more, and she would see that and she would act upon it and say, were you interested in that? Did you want to learn more? And she would take them and share with them the gospel. You know, that's where being used within the ministry of the local church can be a blessing. You know, I'm thinking of mother's group, and if someone has the gift, a little hands, I should say, and an unsaved lady comes, someone with the gift of evangelist, of an evangelist, would so quickly be there to want to take them and share and just guide them in the things of God. And it could be various areas of the ministry. The pastor can preach and teach and guide, but there is that special gift of an evangelist that is needed within the local church as well. And there's a huge gap, as I said, if there is no one with the gift in a local church, or there are people with the gift, but they aren't using it. Sometimes they're used to remind us of the lost and the need to witness. They have that passion for souls, so they are often the ones that want to organize some evangelistic outreach ministry. And we need people with that passion so we can go along with them. It could be to get us beside someone who they know is lost within a ministry of the local church and be there when there is a need. And, you know, the once-a-year evangelists, like Fraser, is a blessing. But I tell you what, the person with the gift of evangelism that is here every week, involved in the ministries and the running of the local church, they are far more beneficial. Far more beneficial. And they are a blessing that we need. And so, I wonder if you have that gift. If you do, have you been trying to grow in that gift and exercise it within this local church? Please do so, because it's vitally important. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you have given those with this gift to be a part of a local church. And I pray that you would prompt those individuals here that you have gifted in this area. Prompt them, encourage them to exercise this gift that they may get better at it and be used in a more wonderful way amongst us, here in the ministries, within our city of Bendigo as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.